Double Radio 92. Double Radio, your fix for progressive talk from Middleton to Monona, always streaming at darnwi.com. Double Radio 92.
I know you're probably wondering why we're playing the typewriter song, which is an oldie but goodie. But of course, we're joined by a true ink stained wretch in old school reporting terms, and so
in every sense of the word.
I know you're probably wondering why we're playing the typewriter song, which is an oldie but goodie. You know what? I think that we have a technical difficulty, and I think that might have something to do with the fact that Ian's Wi-Fi died 5 seconds before we came on board here. So if you've got... Did you try joining us by phone, too? Oh, this is fine. We're in like a loop here.
We have a technical difficulty, and I think that might have something to do with this.
We're gonna mute Julian for just a moment here while we try to figure out his connection. Because I kid you not, Sarah, because I've got the hosting duties on the link over here, and I also have Julian in a text window. And as we're in the middle of the commercial break, I get this text: my home Wi-Fi just died. So, Sarah, it's really this close to you and I just, tap dancing for another 45 minutes here, talking about your kids getting vaccinated. And
yeah, and a wonderful time to talk about broadband in Wisconsin.
Oh, very, very good. Very good.
Fun story for you. Driving through with my bonus daughter to across the state for some sporting event, but my bonus daughter's in the car trying to do virtual school. And we keep getting these dead spots, and she's getting so frustrated. And, me being a political nerd, I so badly want to say, well, there was funding from the Obama administration to the tune of $20+ million that was turned away, and we don't have rural broadband. But then it would be, we're getting political. So we didn't go there, but I'm sitting there going, yeah, it's really rough not being in the 21st century with broadband.
It really is. And it is one of the stories that Julian's worked on quite a bit. So Julian, I'd put you on mute if you can unmute yourself over there, and we'll see if we can get you.
But I'm all, sitting there going, all yeah, connected. It's really
should I unmute here, Pat?
In the 21st century broadband.
Yep, you're unmuted, but there's that delay again.
One of the stories that Julian's worked on quite a bit.
Yeah, there we go. So I'm gonna mute you back here. I'm gonna have you disconnect and then reconnect here. And in the meantime, we'll continue to talk about the problems of rural broadband in Wisconsin. And then Julian will tell us, I know what it is. Julian was listening live on his browser through the Devil Radio website while we were starting the show. And he probably still had that browser window open and needs to close that and then unmute himself. And I'll bet we'll be able to hear him just fine. It is, by the way, we do this every day with a story meeting, all of us reporters around the state, and sometimes around the country, depending on the meeting. And is there anything really quite like watching somebody as they're trying to figure out what's going wrong with their computer? The eyes are going this way and that way, and and it doesn't help at all, by the way, when you've got a tab open someplace that you haven't looked at in forever, and just then they decide to roll some kind of a video. And then you have no idea where the sound is coming from, just like Julian's, who I think is going to try to unmute himself again here, and we'll see if things have gotten any better.
Moment of truth.
All right, here it is. He's going to hit the mute button to unmute himself. Julian, this is radio. You got to hit unmute. You got to. Can you hear the lack of a parachute from us over here? I don't know if you can hear free falling, but this is
the sound of free falling. Yeah. Splat. Well, how about this? Before we get to our guest, we want to thank our hosts at News Talk 92.7, home of the Devil's Radio app, where you can listen to the show on demand. And I called it Devil's Radio. It's actually Devil Radio app. Sorry about that. On weekends, you can catch us on our website, upnorthpodcast.com, and all of the usual places where you can subscribe to podcasts in general. You can also watch us on YouTube by searching Up North Podcast. You can also find the video version of the Facebook page of the Minocqua Brewing Company. And you can reach us by email by writing to info@upnorthpodcast.com. Pat, take it away.
And then meanwhile, the work that Julian and I do on a daily basis can be found over at upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI when you do that. Or you can search Up North News WI on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So we're going to check with Julian again, see if he can unmute himself and if we're if we finally have lost that delayed stream feed.
Does this work?
Works perfectly. Hey, wow. Look at that. Just like we planned it.
I'll tell you later what I did to try and fix it.
How are you?
I'm good. But now that I can talk and not hear like 14 different voices all on super real.
It really was. I kind of figure it's probably one of your bigger nightmares is to hear more than one of me, you know, not just to hear
more
me
than
yell,
one of me.
Hear me yelling at you from 5 minutes ago.
That was. Yeah. Anyway.
But we appreciate you joining us and jumping out of the plane with us. And enjoying a little free fall before the parachute opened up, because I wouldn't even know where to start with doing a year in review, you know, between you and Sarah and me, what we've all, seen and experienced over the past year. So before we have a little fun with it, we probably should start with news of the day. And news of the day, of course, is the pandemic, but it's something that you've covered from several different angles. But let's just start with what's new today, and that's that hospitals are filling up once again. And as you've been calling around, what were people expressing to you?
What was remarkable to me, especially during the last week to 10 days, has been before it was staff who worked at hospitals who were telling me how bad things were. And then the hospital CEOs and the hospital officials were understandably trying to, you know, downplay the alarm and put on as good a face as they could. That was over. That's over now. They were remarkably, the top hospital officials were remarkably clear and direct about just how bad things are. They gave me very specific examples. I think things I've now gotten to the point where they are dealing with a significantly high number of cases. People this year tend to be younger patients in cases, also they're more.
They're not just younger, they're unvaccinated again. And here's the thing that really gets to me on this is they're not just, they're not all unvaccinated. And therefore, when you've got some people who are vaccinated who still get it, you have people saying, well, aha, there's proof that the vaccine doesn't work. We see this in comments all the time, whether it's Up North News or any other place that says, well, if even one person who's gotten vaccinated is still getting COVID, then the vaccine doesn't work. It's a ridiculous argument, and it sets aside everything about how once you're immunized, you have that extra layer of protection. It's not a 100% guarantee, but it is, your odds are immensely better that you're not going to get it, or that if you get it, you're going to get a milder case and not die. That's just the way that, you know, these things work.
The forest fire example makes so much sense to me. Being a California native, our forest fires are tremendous because we get very little water and it's very bloody hot out there. And adding a little bit of water really helps slow down those forest fires. So they do happen, but they're less severe and they're containable. So the vaccine is dampening down and cooling off those forest fires. And the other thing for me, Pat, is as long as people are not vaccinated, this virus gets to mutate, it gets to fester, and it gets to evolve into something bigger and stronger and hardier, and perpetuates this pandemic in a way that nobody wants to see. That's the wild part of this for me.
Well, and that gets us to, you know, Omicron, where we are now, as we, in the worst way possible, learn the Greek letters of the alphabet here with each variant that comes through. And it's not to say it wouldn't have happened at all, but who knows how much more we could have delayed a variant if those vaccines, the first of which was approved 1 year ago today, if more people had followed the science rather than certain, you know, blowhards and snake oil salesmen whose reckless conduct has only extended this. It's something that, you know, that Julian has covered over the past 2 years now. And I cannot believe we are about to go into our third year of this. But he, you know, when he comes back on, I want to ask him about the thing that one of the first real surprising stories that he covered for us at Up North News was talking to county health officials, not from the very early days, but from shortly after that, the first real backlash to safeguards, to mask requirements, to closing things up, including schools and such. And it was Julian who did one of the first stories with county health officials who were just gobsmacked by this, as we all came to be. But the county health officials, Sarah, really were kind of on the front line of seeing this crazy backlash.
That happened to coincide with my race for state assembly. And so I had county health officials reaching out to me saying, hey, can you come support us publicly because you're running against somebody who won't. And I spoke at one of the community events, and the vitriol of people who were so passionately against any sort of measures to contain this was shocking. You know, someone who self-identifies as someone deeply in my Christian faith, the idea that we wouldn't look after our neighbor, that we wouldn't try to contain an illness, especially, you know, we're sick before we know it and we're contagious before we know it. So why wouldn't we do everything in our power to make sure we're not spreading this? The idea that that is offensive or, you know, the government is evil is just silly. And it flies in the face of everything I've learned, you know, growing up within my faith. Like, of course you look after one another.
You would think I was, you know, the lack of compassion was especially noteworthy. And I think some of the second guessing that's going to be done down the road is going to be related to this. When we look back at this time, are we going to say that folks like you and me and those public health officials, frankly, we're too patient, we're too coddling? You know, should we have taken a sharper tone with folks like this? I mean, I will admit, I'm certainly one of those that had I been in a, you know, a different position, would have insisted on much more in terms of a crackdown on things that should be closed and not open, mask requirements and what have you. Because again, and I can't believe yet that I have to say this again with such emphasis, we're in a pandemic. It's not going to go away until you do something about it. And anyway, so that's something that Julian's had to deal with. And, yeah. And it wasn't just from a public health official standpoint. One of the story, actually the story, I looked it up today, Julian's most clicked on stories this year. The one that was got the most viewership was out of Mondovi High School, which is in his neck of the woods, and how a student died from COVID-19. And yet even then, the school did not take up a mask requirement until after Julian's story, and then it was picked up by other outlets as well. And finally, there was a backlash. But to have it at that level has been absolutely stupefying, of course. But, you know, we've also looked at so many other aspects of it. Julian was one of the first people to do a story on, you know, the PPP loans, the first round of pandemic aid, and how small family farmers in Wisconsin didn't qualify for the PPP loans because of the way that their income was calculated. And so that had to be fixed. And he's talked to people who were affected by the eviction moratorium that was put in place as well, and what they stood to lose, you know, if that moratorium had been lifted too soon. And of course, you can't, talk about any of what we've been covering about the pandemic, without talking about more of this human aspect. The people that are they don't have the loud voices. They're the people who have been losing their jobs, who have been losing their homes, and it just feels like nobody's listening to them.
Well, the thing that's nice about Up North News and Julian's work as a reporter is that so much of our life now more than ever is soundbite talking points. And, even places that are supposed to be a source of information and dialogue and analysis just aren't anymore. Going back to Jon Stewart on Crossfire, where he said, no, you all are not a debate show. That would be great if you were a debate show. But Julian's work really sort of dives into these issues to give people a rubber to road perspective about the realities of what is going on in Wisconsin, what these policies mean for folks, and what is at stake. And so that's what I think makes all of this so special and why I'm so happy that we are covering this today. And yay, Julian is back. Welcome.
Just in time for us to go to commercial break here. Again, needless to say, when we come back from this next break, we're going to talk about his stories with broadband and Wi-Fi and the problems that it takes. 5G, give me a break. What we'd give for 1G in some of these areas, because you get no bars whatsoever. So we will take a break. We'll try to get our connections fixed. We thank you all for your patience and hope to come back and talk more with Julian Emerson. Thanks for being with us here up north.